in Samach Amid Beis, in middle of the page. Last Gemara we were learning was, the Gemara is discussing what you say before you go to bed, the Bracha Mapil, and what you say when you get up in the morning, the Lekai Neshama. Then the Gemara says, Kishama Kol Tarnagel, when a person hears, we started this, we were in the middle of it, the Gemara we started last time. Oh no, you know what? Okay, we'll start from here, it doesn't matter. Kishama Kol Tarnagel, when you hear the voice of a rooster in the morning. Now again, like we learned last time, these nowadays when we say brachos in the morning, we just say them all together. In the time of the Gemara, they didn't say them like we do all together. When they heard the rooster, they did this bracha. When they got dressed, they did this bracha. When they did this, they did that bracha. Nowadays, we just do them all together. But in the time of the Gemara, like the Gemara says over here, Kishama Kol Tarnagel, when you hear the voice of a rooster, and Tosfos says, even if you didn't hear it, but you know it's the time of the rooster, like you don't live in a farm, you say the bracha, Shenasen Lasach Vivino, that Hashem gave the understanding into a rooster, Lahavchem Binyem Avenoyla, to differentiate between day and night. Kipasacheno, when you open up your eyes, you should say, Baruch Pekech Ivrim, the God who gives sight to the blind. Kisarda the Yosef, when you straighten up and sit up, you should say, Mater Asurim, who releases the bond. Because when you're sleeping, you're like tied up, so to speak. And now you're able to sit up. Kilavish, when a person gets dressed, he should say, Baruch Mal B'Sharumim, and clothe the naked. Kizakiv, when he gets up, stands up out of bed, he should say, Zekiv Kfufim, he straightens the bent ones. Kinochis Ladim, when he puts his foot on the ground, he should say, Reka Aretz Alamayim, that he spreads out the earth upon the waters. That we should be able to stand. Like this, with water all over the place. Kimazke, when he walks, he should say Amechem Etzadei Gavod, that he Hashem firms the steps of man. Kisayim Esanim, when he puts on his shoes, he should say Baruch Shosili Kotzarki, that we have all our needs, because by having shoes you're able to go where you have to go, and therefore you can get all your needs done. And that's why in Rosh Hashanah, in Yom Kippur, and Tisha B'Av, when you don't wear shoes, you omit this bracha. He also, when a person puts on his belt, Lema should say, he girds the Eden with might. When he puts a cloth on his head, like a turban or yarmulke, whatever, should say, he crowns Eden with splendor. When he puts on his tzitzis, when he wraps himself with the tzitzis, he says, that Hashem commanded us to wrap ourselves with the tzitzis. Kimanech tefillin, Adari, when he puts on the hand tefillin, he should say, Hashem kachanu b'mitzvei v'tzivonu laniach tefillin, that he commanded us to put on tefillin. When he puts on a resha, when he puts on the head tefillin, he should say, Hashem kachanu b'mitzvei v'tzivonu amitzvah tefillin, that he commanded us to do the mitzvah tefillin. By the way, this is where we left off last week. Okay, for those that were here. He's speaking basically about the hand tefillin and the head tefillin. It's basically two separate mitzvahs. You're basically two separate mitzvahs. The only question is, does one bracha go for both? Is it two brachas? Therefore, you have all the various different customs about one bracha, two brachas, you know, what you do with the tefillin. But we went into that last week. Okay, this is where we left off. Kimashi yada, when a person washes his hands, like negel vasin, he says, Shekachana be mitzvahs of tzivana on the tilas yadayim. He commanded us to wash your hands. Okay, Ki Moshe Ape, finally when he washes his face, he should say, Amavir Chev L'Sheino, Blessed Hashem, who removes the bonds of sleep, may I ene from my eyes, Usnuma and slumber, may I fapai from my eyelids. Because when you wake up, it's finally when you wash your face. That's when you finally, so to speak, wake up. And then he continues and he says, V'yiratim Elfanach Hashem Alekai, may it be the will of Hashem, Shetargileinu B'Seidasecha, you should accustom me to study Torah, V'sad Bikeni, you should make me clean from Mitzvisecha and your mitzvahs, V'al Tvieni, you shouldn't bring me Leili Dechait, not to sin, V'Leili Deoven, and not to the difference between Chait and Oven, Chait is like an accidental sin, Oven is more of an intentional sin. So they're asking God not to bring me to an accidental sin, not to bring me to intentional sin. He shouldn't bring me to tests. V'leili Devi Zayin, it shouldn't mean me to shame. V'chayefes Yitzri, and you should force my Yetzahara, l'shtabaloch, to be subservient to you. V'rachakeini, may Adam distance me from evil people, from an evil person, mechaverah, from an evil friend. V'zapkeinu b'yetzatev, and you should connect me and attach me to the Yetzatev, v'chavetev, and to a good friend, b'ilam echa, in your world. Usneinu ayem, v'chayem, usneinu ayem, and should grant me today and every day, l'chein, for grace, l'chesed, and for mercy, kindness, l'rachmim, and mercy, b'in echa, in your eyes, v'einei choreya, in all the eyes that see me, v'sigmaleini chasodim tevim, and you should give me good kindness. It's an interesting expression. What's the definition of a bad kindness? Chasadim ta'ivim, good kindness. So really, we learned this in Tanya. Because even when Hashem does bad to us, seemingly bad, it's really hidden good. So whatever Hashem does is for the kindness. For good. In fact, the Gemara is going to get into the famous story of Rabbi Akiva. But everything is good. So he says, what we're asking Hashem is, don't do hidden kindnesses, you know, that the good is hidden. Chasadim tevim means openly good kindness. We don't want the hidden kindness, you know, we want the open good. Baruch atah Hashem, blessed is you Hashem, Gaimel chasadim tevim, the one who grants and gives chasadim tevim good kindnesses, la'am Yisrael, to the Jewish nation. Now they bring down over here a whole question. What happens if a person doesn't do any of those things? Should he say the brachas anyway? So basically the halacha is, even if you don't, whatever, you don't put on a hat, or you don't put on a belt, I mean, you still do it anyway, because you're not speaking about you as an individual person. You're speaking about the concept of it. God allows us to stand up. He allows us to put on a belt. He allows us to wear shoes. So all these things, and that's the halacha.
We do those things every day anyway.
Right, but I'm saying, what happens if you don't?
If you walk around naked all day?
If a person, yeah.
I think more important is just based on just being able to wake up that morning and be conscientious.
Well, that's why We say Maidani, or in the time of the Gemara, like we learned last week, they didn't say Maidani. They said right away, Elokai Neshamash and Asatibi. That's also thank Modani Lefanecha, that we say, that we're thanking Hashem that He gave us life. But these brachas are for personal thank you for the day to day getting up, so to speak. If you didn't hear the rooster, you say it anyway. There are pasuk in the holes. If you didn't hear a rooster, you don't say it. How can you say Hanesin Lasechvi, that God gave brains to the rooster to defend you? If you didn't hear the rooster, you don't know. But Tesis over here says in the Gemara, even if you didn't hear it, you say it. Okay, then the Gemara says, the Gemara quoted the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah then, that Chayim Adam Levarich, that a person is obligated to make a bracha on the bad, just like you make a bracha on the good. So the Gemara said. So the Gemara says, "My chayv levarich al ra." What does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah says you have to make a brach on the bad? K'shem shemavarich al teva, just so you can make a brach on the good. What does it mean? Ilema, if you're going to say the Mishnah means k'shem shemavarich al teva, just like you say a brach on the good, hateva meitiv. It's a funny expression. The Mishnah says, just like you make a brach on the good, you make a brach on the bad. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? That you make the same bracha? On good you make hatov v'hameitiv. That Hashem is good and does good. So is that the bracha you're going to make on bad? The implication of the Mishnah is, just like you make a bracha on the bad, the same way you make a bracha on the good. Which implies the same bracha. So the Gemara says, kach mevarech al ra. Are you telling me that on evil, you also make the bracha hatov v'hameitiv, that God does good? It's not true. But tanam, because we learned in the Mishnah, Habesuras Tevis, and good tidings and good news, you say Hateva Meitiv, Hashem is good and does good. While Absuras Rois, and bad tidings, that God forbid somebody dies or whatever it is, you say Dayan HaEmes, that Hashem is a true judge. So you see, it's not the same bracha. So the question is, what does the Mishnah mean when it says, the way you make a bracha on good is the way you make a bracha on bad? What does it mean? Amit Avim.
Could it be that, I mean, it's like when you say Dayan HaEmeth, you're not saying that he does bad things necessarily. You're saying that he's just a true judge. I mean, that's the way things.
Yeah, but so the question is, it's a different bracha.
Is there?
So what do you mean by saying, just like you make a bracha on good, you make a bracha on bad? So Gemara answers, this is a very chassidish answer that Alter Rebbe elaborates a lot in Tanya. But the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Rav said, Loi nitzricho, what the Mishnah means, is lekabaluni besimcha, to accept bad tidings with the same joy that you have when you hear good news. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Just like when you hear good news and you make a bracha on the good news, you're very happy. That's the same way you have to make a bracha on the bad. And Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, like we learned in Perek Chavav, what does it mean? That because a Jew understands that whatever Hashem does is for the good. And Alter Rebbe says, it's on the contrary, it's such a great level of good, it can't even come down in a level of good. It has to come down in a level of evil. What appears to us to be evil. But the fact is, if Hashem does it, it's good. And this is a very important concept. It's easier said than done. But
there was a fellow whose daughter broke her arm in the summer at a camp.
The foot, leg.
In New York.
The leg. The leg.
And he was suing this woman. He was suing this the Jewish camp. And it was getting heated, so he had to go to Beis Din on a particular morning. So he appeared before Beis Din. That was the same morning that
That's one version. I heard it was a kid that the kid broke his leg in a camp, and the father was very angry at the camp. He wanted to sue them, and he had to go to the doctor to take off the cast that morning. So he ended up not being in the Twin Towers because he would have been on those floors that were totally demolished. So now he's the camp should sue him. No, I mean, whatever, but. Yeah, in fact, the famous story of Rabbi Kiva, you know, with the rooster, and that's in 10 lines from now, is this Gemara, how Rabbi Kiva saw. But what the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya is, and really this is exactly what the Gemara is saying. It's not that the Gemara says what the Mishnah means, just like you make a bracha on good news, the same way you make a bracha on the bad news. It means not at the same bracha because it's a different bracha. So it can't mean the same bracha. What it means is that just like on good news, you're excited. When bad news happens, you should also be excited. That doesn't mean you should, when somebody dies, you start dancing. I mean, that's not what the Gemara means. It means you accept it with the internal happiness and understanding that God does what he does. Okay, then the Gemara says, where do we learn this out from? Where do we learn it out that you have to have simcha even when something bad happens? So the Gemara says, Amar Ravacha Mishum Rablevi, Ravacha said in the name of Ravlevi that Maikra, what's the Pasik? Because it says in the Pasik, Chesed u'Mishpat, whether kindness or justice, and justice is mean when you're judged. It's not necessarily kindness. Ashir Elocha Hashem Azameira, to you Hashem I'll sing, and I'll sing praise. Im chesed ashira, if I doubt kindness, I will sing. V'im mishpat ashira, and even if I doubt justice, meaning severity, ashira, I'll also sing. So you see, the pasuk says, not only do you sing praise when good things happen, even when bad things happen. That's one source. Reb Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Mehachar, Reb Shmuel ben Nachmani says from here, Hashem halul davar, in Hashem I will praise, Belakim halul davar, with Elkim I'll praise. Now you have to understand, the Pasuk says the same thing twice. But one name is Hashem, and then it says Elokim. Now Hashem is the name of mercy. Elokim is the main name of judgment. So it says, Hashem halul davar, I'll praise Hashem, zumid the teva, that's when the good actions happen. Because Hashem is mercy. Belakim halul davar, with Hashem, I will praise, refers to Midas Peronius, punishment, because that's what Elokim is. Elokim is the attribute of judgment. Rav Tanchum Amar Mehocha, Rav Tanchum says from a different pasuk, it says, Keis Yeshua is Esa, I will raise up the cup of salvation, Uveshem Hashem Ekra, and I will call in the name of God, Tzadavi Yogin Emtsa. It says, in during distress and yogin grief, at emsa I will, if I find myself, uveshem Hashem ekra, I will still sing praise to Hashem. So you see that even in the time of problems, you're supposed to sing praise to Hashem. Rabbanan Amar Mehacher, the Chacham say from a different pasuk, it says, and this is said at funerals in Shtayin Gedacht, Hashem nos and God gave, Hashem lokach, Hashem took, as Hashem gave His people, took away people from us. Yehi Shem Hashem Meverach, may the name of Hashem be blessed. So you see that even when Hashem takes things away from us, we have to praise Hashem. I told many times the famous story, there are a bunch of Hasidim of different Rebbes sitting together, and each one was telling the miracles of their Rebbe. Different Rebbes. And there was a Chabad Chassid there. So he said to him, "Nu, tell the story of your Rebbe. You know, let me hear some miracles from your Rebbe." So he said, "I have a bigger miracle than all you guys together." What was the miracle? "I asked my Rebbe advice. I took his advice in business and I lost all my money." So he said to him, "What type of miracle is this?" He said, "The miracle is I'm still a Chassid." In other words, even though he lost his money, still connected. You know, to be close to Hashem in good times is no trick. It's like they say, it's no kunz. Kunz is to be close to Hashem even when things are tough. That's the real test of Hashem. And the Gemara says, Taknal, this famous story with the Rabbi Akiva. Amar Avuna, Amar Rav Mishum Rameir. Avuna said the name of Rav and the name of Rameir. V'chein Tani Mishmeid Rabbi Akiva, and so Rabbi Akiva also said. In fact, Rameir was a student of Rabbi Akiva. So Rameir said it because he heard it from his Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva say? Le'elam Yehi Adam Ragolem, a person should always be accustomed to saying, called the Avid Rachmana. Whatever Hashem does, the Tava. Yes. Good morning. So Rabbi Kiva said a person should always accustom himself to say, Kodavid Rachmana, whatever Hashem does, the Tavav is for the good. And the Gemara says a story. Rabbi Kiva was once traveling in the road. The Rebbe calls this Gemara in a Sicha. The Rebbe said, nowadays when you travel, you go with your credit cards, you go with different things, you go with luggage. You see what Rabbi Kiva traveled with? There's a whole different perspective in traveling. Why did Rabbi Kiva travel? Of a kozel b'urcha. Rabbi Kiva was traveling on the way. Mata lohu masa. He came to a certain city. Boy ushpiza. He wanted to spend the night in the city. Layoevle. Nobody let him in. Nobody let him in to sleep. Such hospitality. Not one guy let him in to sleep. Amr said, what did he? He didn't get angry. He said, "Kol David Rachmona latav. Whatever Hashem does is for the good." Azul. Ubaz bedabra. He went to sleep in the field. Vava bade. What did he have with him? What was Rabbi Kiva's luggage? He took Tana Gerla, a rooster, to wake him up in the morning. Vachamra, and a donkey, to carry his things. Ushraga, and a lamp, that he should be able to sit and learn. That was Rabbi Kiva's packages. A rooster to wake him up in the morning, a light to learn, and a donkey to carry his things. Haza Zika, a wind came. Kavi l'shrag, blew out the lamp. No light. Asa shundra, a cat came. Ocha l'tana gaila, ate the rooster. No rooster. Asa arye, a lion came. Ocha l'chamra, ate the donkey. So now he was left with no luggage. Or in modern day languages, the luggage didn't come on the plane. Okay? Amen, what did he say? Kal da'aved rachmanu l'tap. Whatever Hashem does is for the good. That's it. So what happens? Bei Belaila, that very night, Asa Geisa, an army came, Shavya Lamasa, and captured the city. And captured the city, and they killed everybody in the city. So now Rabbi Kiva understood the following. Number one, if he would have been in the city, he would have been killed or captured. If the rooster would have been there making noise and the candle would have shed light, they would have seen him when they came through the forest, right in the field. So therefore, he said to his students, Amarlo, he said to his students, or to whoever it was, Lev Amir Luchu, didn't I tell you, Komasha Yisra Kodesh Baruch Hu, that whatever Hashem does, the Tav is good? Akol the Tav is all for the good. The Rashi says they would have discovered him and the soldiers if he had the lamp and the rooster, whatever. So you see a clear-cut example, or like the zillions of other examples of people that missed things and did whatever, and because of that they had it okay. Okay, then the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Mishum Rav Meir. Rav Huna said the name of Rav and the name of Rav Meir. Le'elam yeidvarav shel adam mo'atam lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person speaks to Hashem, keep it short and sweet. Don't hack a chaynik. Keep davening short and sweet. Shenemer, because it says in the Pasuk, Al teval al picha, do not be rash with your mouth, v'libcha al yemaher, and your heart should not hurry. Lehaytzi David lefneo alekim, to say words before Hashem. Ki alekim b'shamayim, because God is in the heaven. Va'at ala oretz, and you are on earth. Al ken yia devarach mo'atim, your words should be few. Now that's one way of learning. The Mashal learns that this is not speaking about davening. He speaks about complaining. Don't complain too much before Hashem, and this is the connection to the previous Gemara, that whatever Hashem does is for the good. So if whatever Hashem does is for the good, don't complain too much. Because we don't understand.
Maybe he does it so you would complain. So you would daven.
Yeah, but not complain, daven.
Right.
We learned it. It says in the Medrash that why did Hashem make Avram and Sarah not have any children? And Yitzchak and Rivka not have any children, and Yaakov and Rachel not have any children. So why? Because Hashem likes when tzaddikim suffer, because then they daven. Hashem likes the davening of a tzaddik. So how do you get a tzaddik to daven? You make him suffer a little bit. It's an interesting medrash, but that's what it says.
Well, what does a person do if something is just unbearable? I mean,
it can be. If a person thinks it's coming from Hashem, and Hashem, whatever Hashem does is for the good, so then it's great. You should dance. And Hashem can do things. Hashem doesn't give a due to a person more than a person can handle. As a Gemara, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bal B'Trunyim B'Yesed, God does not demand from a person more than the person could do. Hashem is very, to use the word is foolish, but Hashem is very smart. Right? Not like our, you know, Chochem not. Not like our level of Chochman, the Rambam says. Your parent or a teacher cannot demand from a student more than the student can do. Right? You can't demand from a fifth grader to be on college level. It's foolish if you demand college work from a fifth grader, right? So any normal student, a teacher or parent, won't demand from the child more than the child can do. So Hashem doesn't demand from a person more than the person can handle. And Hashem knows what we can handle. So, you can't say, you'd use the word when it becomes unbearable. We think it's unbearable. But at the same time, Hashem makes life difficult. He gives us the strength to be able to overcome it. So the person, but it is a very positive way of looking at all this, even though I'm not saying it's easy. And that is that a little punishment in this world, a little suffering, not, I don't want to use the word punishment, a little suffering in this world, the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, in the Gersa Tshuva, removes a lot of punishment in the world to come. A lot. To the extent, this the Alter Rebbe doesn't bring down, his brother on his phone, we mentioned this. If you have to go into your pocket, you need a quarter. And you go into your pocket and you pull out a dime. You have to go a second time into your pocket to get the quarter. That suffering removes a lot of punishment in the world to come. Where do we see this? So the Gemara likens it to the sun. When you have the shadow of the sun on earth, you know, the way the sun moves in the sky. So for the shadow of the sun to move a foot down here, it moves many, many miles in the sky. It goes from, you know, the sun's movements in the sky. Okay, so a little bit down here has a tremendous impact up there. So if a person knows, and this is one of the reasons why logically it says a person could be mekabel yisurim bi'ahava, accept punishment with love, because a person understands that whatever I'm getting here is getting off in the world to come. So then a person says it's great, because this is temporary suffering, and that's permanent. So it's much better to suffer temporarily, like a person is willing to suffer in surgery for a short period of time to feel much better later. So that's what it is. God's a nice guy, don't worry about it. So sometimes we don't understand him too much.
So
sometimes it's like, you love somebody, you hug them. Sometimes you hug them too tight, it hurts. You know? But
so even if a person made a decision that affected them negatively, obviously it's God's will.
Correct.
And therefore, if that person is suffering because of what...
Well, except with Torah mitzvahs of good and evil. But if somebody made a bad business decision, that's coming from Hashem. If I chose to sin rather than a mitzvah, that I have free will. Right? But in other things that are not Torah mitzvahs, direct Torah mitzvahs, if I make a bad business decision, let's say, and lose money because of it, that's coming from Hashem, yeah.
The Hakobi de Yishmaim.
Chotzim Yerushimayim, right? Yeah. Now, it's possible that Hashem wants the person to lose money because, God forbid, it could have been the guy was supposed to die. Like the famous story with Aliyah Navi with Rabbi Shur ben Levi, the woman was supposed to die, so they transferred it to the cow. So we don't know how God works. It's possible a guy loses a lot of money, but at least they're healthy, they're alive, or whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to say. Only God knows. But what they, like we said before, what we're asking Hashem is for chasadim tevim. We want open good. We want Hashem to give us the highest level of good, not in a hidden way, in an open way. That's what we ask Hashem for. If we tell God, don't hug me too tight. I don't get the question yet.
Let's say one person goes through something, or is it, and are they connected in terms of what they're going through?
They're still two different bodies. The suffering is not of the neshama, the suffering is of the body. The suffering of the neshama is the fact that it's in the body, the neshama is suffering. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. You can have one spouse that's, God forbid, very sick and the other one isn't. I mean, Hashem works in strange ways. There's an expression in Chazal, Ilu Yadaitiv. If I would be God, Hayisiv, I mean, Hayilu Yadait, if I would understand Hashem, Hayisiv, I would be Him. We can't understand God in any way. Kelemach Shveisaymach Shveisechem, you know, we read in the Haftarah and Tzim Gedalia. And this is a big mistake people make. We mentioned this many, many times. The Chassidus explains. When people don't understand God, they get frustrated. I'm putting it mildly. They get angry, frustrated, whatever. It really is the opposite way. The question is, of course we can't understand God. What are you frustrated you don't understand God? The question is not why we don't understand God. The question is, why do we think we understand anything we do understand of God? That's the question. How can you can understand God? He's infinite and we're limited. It's impossible mathematically to understand an infinite God with a limited mind. The question is not why we don't understand Hashem. The question is, how do we think we understand? And the truth is, even those things we think we understand, we don't understand. Like me, many people in Yiddishkeit have a notion, if I don't understand it, it's wrong. It's stupid. What do you mean you don't understand it? How can you understand infinite God? It's impossible. The question is, even if you think you understand it, you should know you don't understand it. Because you're only understanding it from a limited perspective. But that's right. The question is, you can't understand it. But what we want to ask, chasan tovim, openly good kindness. Everything Hashem does is good. It's chesed. But sometimes it's chesed. I'll give you an example. When a father, the Moshe Chassidus gives, when a father patches his child, okay, that patching openly is an act of punishment, but really it's an act of love. Because the father loves the child, that's why he's disciplining somebody else's kid he's not going to hit. In other words, it's an act of punishment because the kid gets hit, right? But it's really an act of love. It's called Gvura Sheba Chesed. It's an act of Gvura, but it's really Chesed. Chesed Sheba Gvura is when I give a kid a knife to play with. So I'm doing an act of kindness. I'm giving him something that he asked me for. But it's really bad because he's going to hurt himself. So openly, it's kind, but it's really not kind. Understand? Yeah. What we're asking Hashem for is, we said, we don't want this Gvura Sheba Chesed. We want Chesed Sheba Chesed. Understand? That's what we're asking Hashem.
There was somebody who gave a speech yesterday, and he said that if we were to let like the terrorists get away with what they got away with, and just, I mean, that's really not that's not really merciful. I mean, to be merciful. Sometimes to be merciful to, in that case.
No, I don't want to talk about terrorists, but you're not doing a kid a favor by not disciplining him, by letting him getting away with whatever he wants. Mm. You don't do a kid a favor. That's the modern psychology of raising kids, is let them do whatever they want. Okay, just let them do it. Time out. You know, just time out. Just put him into a room, time out. It doesn't work. And you see, the fact is, look at the outcome, it doesn't work. Shlomo HaMelech says, spare the rod, spoil the child. According to Torah, kids need a poor patch. Now, I'm not talking, God forbid, abusing. God forbid, I mean, I'm talking about abusing a child. But the kids need a poor patch. You know? Some adults need a poor patch. You know, patch, good patch. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Darish Rav Nachman Barav Chista. Rav Nachman Barav Chista learned, May Dechsev, what does it say in the Pasik? Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Esa Adam, that God formed the person. That's at the beginning of Chumash. Okay, beginning of Chumash, it says Hashem formed the person. But Vayitzar is with two yuds. Normally, Vayitzah should be with one yud. Here it has Vayitzah with two yuds. So the Gemara says, Bishnei yudin, why did God put us with two yuds? I mean, the word Vayitzah with two yuds. So he says, because Shnei Yitzarim, this hints to the two Yitzars, Shebara HaKadosh Baruch that Hashem created in Adam. Vayitzah, the two yuds, means there's a Yitzah Tev, and Echad Yitzah Tev, Echad Yitzah Adam. Okay? Because Vayitzah does not only mean formed, it means Yetzer, like Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. Right? So the fact that Hashem says Vayitzah with two Yuds teaches us, he said, two Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. We know that's what we have. Maskelov Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. So Rav Nachman by Yitzchok said, Elameyat, a behemoth like Sivayetzer. By a behemoth, by an animal, doesn't say Hashem formed at all, not. So you tell me, Leslie Yitzchok, there's no Yetzer Hara. In other words, if you tell me Hashem formed Adam with a Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, that means if it doesn't say Vayitzer, there's neither of them. So by animals, there's no Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. How could that be? V'ayikachazinon, we see the masker that they do damage. V'noshkan, they kick. Ubata, I'm sorry, they bite and they kick. We see animals do terrible things. So how can you say they have no Yetzer Hara? Elok Rav Shimon Pazi. Like Rav Shimon ben Pazi said. What did Rav Shimon ben Pazi say? Damer Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Oli miyaitzri, Oli miyaitzri, woe is to me for my Creator, who is sure to punish me if I give in to my temptation, and woe is to me for my Yetzer Hara, is going to punish me if I give in to Hashem. So you see, this is what the two yuds signify. Vayita Hashem Elokim. Not that Hashem made the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. That there is there. What it means is, oh, if I listen to my Yetzer Hara, God's going to get to me. If I listen to Hashem, my Yetzer Hara is going to get to me. So it's all terrible. Then he says, Inamik Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Damir Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Du Partuf and Barak Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'Adam Arishin. God created two figures in Adam Arishin. And the Gemara is going to discuss this next time at great length. Shenema, because it says, Achor V'Kedem Sartani, from the back and from the front you formed him. Okay? That means, Hashem created Adam and Chava back to back as one person. And then he separated them. They were the first Siamese twins. And they were created back to back, and then Hashem separated them. So that's what it means in the pasuk. Okay.